I begin a series on harvest, a series on harvest. For the next few days, I will be speaking on harvest from the perspective of the kingdom of God. Praise God. Now, usually when God is doing something that is much bigger than the person, much bigger than us, it is difficult for those that God is dealing with directly to understand the fullness of what God is doing. They don't understand it because they can't see it. They're not fully aware of it because they're in the thick of it. Nevertheless, I want to assure you of this. I want to make you aware of this truth that we are in something much bigger than us, that God is doing. And however, it's also a Kairos moment for us. It is a big thing that God is doing. But it's also a moment for decision. We are in a time where decision and action is required. And God, by His Spirit, has primed us to make decisions and to take actions in line with His purpose. So, let me off the bat encourage you. I want to encourage you, therefore, I want you to hold fast, and I want you to continue to make that choice daily, moment by moment, to release your life into the hands of God. I'm encouraging you that from the depths of your soul, please say yes to Him again and again and again, and keep making that choice to say yes to Him. It's important that we remain first fruits unto Him. We must remain first fruits unto Him. And to remain first fruits requires us to make decisions for Him, in favor of Him, in every situation we're in. It's a matter of us saying, "Yes, God, Your will be done. Yes, God, Your will be done." So let me encourage you to hold fast and continue, because we are in a Kairos moment. We are in a primed moment. There is a suddenly about what is happening to the body of Christ now. So do not give up. Do not quit. Moment after moment, make your decisions to be fresh fruits unto Him. And by the way, we are not alone in that, in making those decisions. We have the Holy Spirit. One of the primary responsibilities of the Holy Spirit is to make us effective. The Holy Spirit makes us effective by giving us tools. He equips us with tools of wisdom, tools of knowledge, so that we can engage effectively, efficiently, as laborers with Him in the vineyard of God. So the Spirit of Christ is giving us tools through this message. And such, some of the things I will speak on will just be a reminder, just to remind us of what we know already, and some of them might be new. But in any case, be prepared for what the Lord has to say. First, here's what I would like to do. Since this message is about harvest, I will like to add to your understanding of what harvest means. What is harvest? In addition to all the teachings you might have heard regarding harvest, I'm going to boil it down to simply this. Harvest simply is an expression of Matthew chapter 6. Verse 9 and 10 on earth. When this comes to bear on earth, this is spiritual harvest for God. What does that say? Matthew 6, 9 and 10 says, "So then, this is how you should pray." This is on the occasion of disciples asking Jesus to teach them how to pray. He says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Praise God. We are to address the Father. So harvest is about God and the will of God and the desires of God. The scripture says that the name of God is to be praised. God is praised, glorified in harvest. Amen. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is spiritual harvest from God's perspective. Why do I say this? Because it represents God's reaping and accomplishing His will through the lives of those He's placed on earth in a systematic manner. Amen. God reaps His harvest in a systemized way. And He does this by engaging His manifold wisdom as a spiritual system for harvest. He engages, He makes manifest His manifold wisdom for the purpose of harvest. Let me show you what I mean. I'm going to give you an insight to what I'm trying to say with scriptures. Okay? See, I want you through this scripture to see God's wisdom at work. And by the way, for every natural expression of wisdom, there is a spiritual component to it. So now read with me Isaiah 28 verse 23 to 29. Speaking about wisdom. The focus here is wisdom. Isaiah says, "Listen and hear my voice. Pay attention and hear what I say. When a farmer plows for planting, does he plow continually? Does he keep on breaking up and working the soil? When he has leveled the surface, does he not sow caraway and scatter cumin? Does he not plant wheat in its place, barley in its plot, and spelt in its field? His God instructs him and teaches him the right way." Listen to that. His God instructs him and teaches him the right way. "Caraway is not threshed with a sledge, nor is the wheel of a cart rolled over cumin. Caraway is beaten out with a rod, and cumin with a stick. Grain must be ground to make bread, so one does not go on threshing it forever. The wheels of a threshing cart may be rolled over it, but one does not use horses to grind grain. All this also comes from the Lord Almighty, whose plan is wonderful, whose wisdom is magnificent." Wow, what a scripture. Whose plan is wonderful, whose wisdom is magnificent. Speaking about God. Now notice with me. Remember, this is about wisdom. Notice with me the purpose of this scripture. It's wisdom. In the natural, the scene is set in the natural. So in the natural, the scripture shows that even farmers must engage a systematic wisdom to reap full harvest. There's a way for doing things if you want to reap a good harvest. There's a way. And so invariably, the application here is that harvesting requires the use of a set of farming wisdom. Depends on what you've planted and what you're harvesting. Amen? In the same way, in the realm of the Spirit, harvest from God's perspective engages God's spiritual wisdom that is only of God. In the same way. Meaning that harvest is about the wisdom of God. Spiritual harvest is founded on God's spiritual principle. God has established a systematic process for sowing and harvesting. And because all of the wisdom required for the process of sowing and harvesting only comes from God, according to Isaiah we just read. So this tells me this. It tells me that through this harvest message that you're listening to. God is planned and primed to equip us with spiritual wisdom that we will need to be effective as harvesters. Write that down. And through this message, God is giving you tools. The Holy Spirit will equip you for being effective. And how is He going to do that? He's going to give you spiritual wisdom, His wisdom, and how to be effective as laborers in His vineyard. So, please, again, I will encourage you, pay close attention to the things which you hear. Take note of them, because the wisdom of God is being, or should I say, the harvest wisdom of God is being revealed to us. True spiritual wisdom speaks simply about what God establishes, how God established it, and how God wants that to operate in the realm of the Spirit. Praise God. But before we continue, I'd like to take us back to the beginning. It's good to look at the beginning to see how God began things. So I will take us back to the book of Genesis. And this book of Genesis, chapter 1, chapter 2, will lend further understanding to this message of harvest, spiritual harvest. Let me show you spiritual harvest principle in action that God established in the book of Genesis. This is how it all started. And so, if you go back to how it all started and get an understanding of it, that then gives you the tool you need for how to operate effectively in the present. Praise the name of Jesus Christ. So, watch this. Genesis, first two chapters of Genesis shows that God began with how many seeds? God began everything with one seed. Just one seed. Everything God created, one seed. And what is that seed? God began everything with the seed of His Word. His Word came as a seed. And which, of course, I might add here, and I'm sure you will agree with me, that seed of His Word is not of human construct. That seed is from God. It's spiritual seed. From that seed, God harvests creation, including us, humanity. From that seed, all the fruits came out. And the fruits represent what God harvested. Creation. The fruit of the one seed that God sowed is creation. And that is God's harvest. But let's get deeper. But notice that God did not stop there with His plans. What do I mean by this? You see, God's spiritual plans is for a sustained harvest. God wants a fruitful, bountiful, and sustained harvest. Now, how will God accomplish this? That means God, in His wisdom, what He did was place seed within each of the fruit of His harvest. So not only God came with one seed and reaped fruits of His harvest, in those fruits He put seed in them. Why did He do that? Because God did that because it's God's way of sustaining His plans and purpose. This is God's way of sustaining His plan and purpose. So as such, here's what I'm trying to say. The spiritual principle of sowing seeds and reaping, it's God's sustained way for the prosperity and posterity of all things He created. The spiritual principle of sowing seeds and reaping a harvest from the seeds is God's what? Sustained way for the prosperity and posterity of all things He created. This is God's way for sustaining all He created. And this is our way. God is teaching us that same way. If we must be effective as co-laborers with the Holy Spirit. So this again is why I am encouraging all of us to grasp the teachings you are hearing. It will be so beneficial for you. Praise the name of Jesus. Now I want you to go with me please to 2 Corinthians 9:10. Please go with me to 2 Corinthians 9:10. This shows, it's going to show us further evidence where seeds come from. And as I said, God started with a seed. So without seed, nothing is sustained. 2 Corinthians 9:10 says, "He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness." Praise God. Increase the harvest of your righteousness. I just bless God for this. You see, without the seed, there is no harvest. Without the seed, there is no harvest. And God is saying, I will supply your seed. I will give bread to the eater. And I, will, through the seed that I've supplied, will increase your harvest of righteousness. It says, you will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. Did you notice what happened here? Notice, who supplies your seed? Who supplies your seed? God does. God is the one who supplies the seed. How did God do this? Well, he did it by making us a fruit of his harvest. He made us a fruit of his harvest. That's how he supplies seed to us. Watch now. So let me ask you this question, because I know where you're going with this. Let me ask you a question. When you put seed in a fruit, what have you made that fruit? When you take a fruit and you put a seed in that fruit, what have you made that fruit? Have you not made that fruit indeed a seed? Of course you have. So in the book of Genesis, we are told that God put seed in all that he made. He put seed in them. And so even though we are the fruit of his one seed, his word, he has put what seed in the fruits so that the seed can bring forth like kind. Praise Jesus. This is spiritual food. It's deep. Grasp it. So God has made us seed. So we are the fruit of God's harvest of his word with seeds in us. When you think about yourself, you think about one, you are God's fruit. Secondly, he's put seeds in you for more harvest. Praise God. Now, I'm going to take us to Isaiah 55, 10 and 11. I want to show us how God sustains his harvest. We will see in Isaiah 55, 10 and 11 this. He says, "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater." Seed to the sower. "So is my word that goes out of my mouth." Whoa. "So is my word that goes out of my mouth." God says, my word is like a seed that I've planted and that will not return to me void. Rather, it will not, it will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. What a statement by God. How is God accomplishing what he desires and achieving his purpose? God said simply, my word goes forth as a seed. My word goes forth as a seed. And my word is self-sustaining, because my word will reap fruits that will have seeds in it. Okay? So again, God's word is a prosperous seed. And it always prospers where God sends it. But I tell you, the real awesome thing about this scripture is how it prospers. That systemized way of how it prospers is the real, real gem in the scripture. He says that it gives rise to fruits, as I said earlier, that will prosper because there are seeds in those fruits. You see that? It will give rise to fruits that have seeds in them, and this continues in perpetuity. God, there's none like you. Praise the name of Jesus Christ. Now, let me take us somewhere else. Let me take us somewhere else, because I feel like this is important. But we're still talking about harvest. I want to ask you this question. When is harvest season? When is harvest season? Watch what happens here. Now, in the natural, if you ask any farmer, harvest season is predicated on multiple factors, of which time season is a major contributor. The nature of the seed is also a contributor. The area where the seeds are planted are all contributors. But in the spiritual realm, is it the same? Do these factors matter in the spiritual realm? The answer is no. They're not as significant in the realm of the spirit. And when we read John 4:35, this gives us a contrast into my perspective, or into this teaching, the difference between the things that affect harvest in the natural versus the things that affect the harvest in the realm of the spirit. So please go with me to John 4:35. Do you not say there are still 4 months until the harvest? I tell you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are ripe for harvest. Praise God. So what is Jesus saying here? Basically, Jesus is making two distinctions in this verse. He makes two clear distinctions here. Walk with me here. He said, there are those who operate in the natural realm. Of course, there are those who operate in the natural realm. And for them, guess what? Sowing and reaping is based on multiple natural factors. This is what Jesus is not discounting that. He's not discounting that. He's simply saying for those who operate in the natural, there are multiple natural factors that will determine your harvest. And you have to submit to that wisdom if you want to harvest. Conversely, there are others like himself, Jesus, operating in the realm of the spirit. And for them, the natural factors are no longer constraints. The natural factors do not constrain your spiritual harvest, is what Jesus is saying. So let me ask you this question and be honest with yourself. Which category do you belong in? Do you find yourself operating in the natural? Of course, when you operate in the natural, you will reap a result. All you have to do is follow the systematic way established for harvesting. And you will reap. You will reap some level of harvest in the natural realm, when you operate in the natural realm. However, when you operate in the spiritual realm, you will reap a greater harvest. So everything you do in the natural will not give you the fullness of the harvest that God intended for that seed. Praise God. So it's important for you to answer that question earnestly. Do you find yourself operating in the natural or in the spirit? It is important because you see your process will determine your outcome. What realm you engage in will determine your outcome. Okay? Praise God. Now let me take us to Genesis 8:22. We're speaking about when is harvest season. Harvest season is all times. He says spiritually, not in the natural. Genesis 8:22 says this: as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall never cease. Wow, watch. It never ceases. So he says, now watch what God is saying here. It says, as long as the fruit or harvest of my word abides, which is the earth, as long as it endures, seed time and harvesting is unceasing. It never ends. There is no end to it. There is no moment where it's not a harvest season. But you just have to know which realm you're operating in. If you operate in the natural, then it won't be the same. But for God, in the realm of the spirit, it is unceasing. Harvest is unceasing in the spiritual realm. Praise God. So here's what is implied by here. It is implied that we human beings have the capacity to operate within the reach of both realms. We can operate in the spiritual realm. We can also operate, of course, in the natural realm. So the question is, which one is dominant in a person's life? Which realm is dominant in our lives? You know, when we operate just in the natural and we make that dominant in our lives, then, you know, You're never going to get the fullness of what God intended. I know that God operates in the realm of the spirit. And from there, he rules over the natural. I also know that God wants us to be like him, to operate in the realm of the spirit, so we can dominate the natural and not be constrained by the natural trappings and constraints like Jesus. Praise God. You know, when you look at Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 and 38, he makes clear that God is the God of this harvest. He says, God is spirit. And sorry, then in John 4:24, he says, God is spirit, and those who worship in spirit and truth. So Matthew 9:37 and 38 declares that he's the God of the harvest. John 4:24 declares that God is spirit, and those who approach God must approach God in the realm of the spirit. So what all of this truth is pointing us to, where what something I mentioned earlier. We are called to operate in the spiritual harvest while living in this world, so that we can reap the fullness of what God intended, spoke about for each moment of our lives. Praise God. And as Jesus points out in John 17:16, we are in this world, but we are not of this world. So we are not of this world. That means we ought not to be harvesting in the natural, but in the spirit, to influence the natural for a big bounty for the glory of God. Praise God. So I'm going to go to an anchor scripture right now. It's John chapter 4. We're going to spend the rest of this message in John chapter 4. Praise God. I love the way the Holy Spirit does things. How he takes you. Excuse me. How the Holy Spirit can take you to a verse or a chapter and just have you dwell on it. First of all, John chapter 4. If you read the introduction given to us in this chapter, it's really about harvesting of souls. It's about harvest. But sometimes we miss that part of it. So as such, an inference to harvest is given in the rest of the text of John chapter 4, at least most of it. Let me read John 1 and 2 for us. He says, John 4, 1 and 2, sorry. When Jesus realized that the Pharisees were aware that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although he was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. Amen. So what do we connect from this first two verses? The first two verses connect the words, these two words, disciple and baptism. Disciple and baptism. Again, this is a portrayal of what? A spiritual harvest. Disciple and baptism. Jesus was discipling, the disciples were baptizing. It's a portrayal of the spiritual harvest. I believe that this is very, very important to observe. It's very important to observe why. Because it's really the background of what follows for most of John 4. Most of John 4, this is the background for it. In them, we will read that Jesus and his disciples were making and baptizing disciples. But albeit, the role Jesus plays is that of making disciples, while the disciples themselves were the ones who would be baptizing. Praise God. Now, let's get deeper into John chapter 4. First, let's look at verse 6. Verse 6. What do we find in verse 6? In verse 6, we are introduced for the first time to a place called Jacob's Well. Jacob's Well. This is a very important destination for Jews and the people of Samaria. Amen? And for the Gentiles at large as well. Why is it so important? This is very important because it's symbolic and also it has practical usefulness. What is the symbolism with Jacob's Well? Symbolically, because it connects with God's promises made to Abraham and his descendants. And so when one connects with that, one connects with that promise, with that lineage, with that call of God upon Abraham's life and the blessings that followed. Now, it also has practical benefits. Jacob's Well has practical benefits because it's a place to draw sustenance. This is a place where water is drawn. Now for me, however, I see Jacob's well as a place of harvest. This is a place of harvest. And I might add this, everywhere you attend to gain or to give, everywhere you attend to engage, every moment is a place of harvest. We're going to get deeper into that later. But just note that now, that everywhere you are, whether you are there to gain or give or engage, whatever it is, it's a place of harvest. Okay, so I see this as a place of harvest. Now, why? Because people who go there go for the simple reason, what? To harvest water. So it's a place of harvesting water. As such, I see, and it also makes sense if you think about it, it makes complete sense, therefore, that those who come to the well do so with natural implements or equipment so that they are able to harvest water. Does that make sense? It makes absolute sense. Why? Because your ability, the person's ability to harvest is predicated on a simple thing. It's predicated on simply having the right equipment. It's your ability to harvest from this well is predicated on you or somebody with you having the correct or the proper natural implements or equipment that will enable you engage this well and draw water from it. Praise God. So it will make sense that anyone who approaches this well in the natural would preoccupy themselves. What preoccupies those who attend here for water is what? It's not the water. It's the preparation with the right equipment, the timing to attend this place, all those natural factors that will make you effective in harvesting water. That preoccupies everyone who's engaged with this well, right? However, notice something with Jesus. Jesus approaches this well, note, without what seems to be the appropriate equipment, yet he wants to draw water from the well. Ooh, good God Almighty, help us. So the Samaritan woman approaches the well, and everybody else who comes to that well approaches with what they consider the proper natural implement to be effective as one, the harvest water. And they will get their results. Now, however, Jesus approaches this well without any of such implements, and he's looking for water. Now, I'm going to go a step further with this. Will you believe me if I told you that both Jesus and this Samaritan woman came to this well with the same purpose? They both came to this well with the same purpose. They both came to Jacob's well for what? A harvest. The Samaritan came to the well, Jacob's well, for a harvest of water. And Jesus as well came to this well for a harvest. However, the difference is in the fruit of the harvest. The fruit of harvest in target are different. Our dear beloved sister, the Samaritan woman, came for natural springs. Jesus came to do the will of God, to harvest fruits that he will put seeds in for the glory of God. We will continue as we look at verse 9. Verse 9. And by the way, the entire text of John 4 is so deep that it is impossible at this forum for me to do a thorough study of it. Besides, I'm not going to pretend that I understand it all. I don't grasp the magnitude of what the scripture truly holds, but God is helping me. So meditate a lot more on it. Okay? God's going to help you. Now verse 9. Watch what happens here in verse 9. You are a Jew, said the woman. How can you ask for a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Now Jesus have engaged in a convo with this woman. And in that conversation, Jesus is asking the woman for water. Now I want to expose to us how the Samaritan woman's response hinders spiritual harvest. Praise God. First, watch her statement. What does her statement represent? Well, her statement represents a long-held carnal view of human relationship, how to relate with people. It has become her standard for relating and associating with people. Anytime we hold carnal views, anytime we hold any view as a lens through which we relate with people or relate with our circumstance and situations, we are hindering the process of a spiritual habit. So, what does this mean in simple terms? In other words, this Samaritan woman's equipment for harvesting is carnal. Her implement is carnal. And such, she's not aware of the spiritual opportunities that is availed to her in this moment, in that situation. Why? Because her equipment is faulty. She came to the place of harvesting with carnal equipment. And in this case, her view of how Samaritans are to relate with Jews. That is a carnal, that's her implement, that's the equipment she's using to relate with Jesus. So what is happening to her? What's happening to her is that she's missing out on this amazing opportunity to encounter the Lord. So in this situation, what is the best she can do? The simple, she can only reap a carnal harvest. So I want you to watch what happens. When a person reaps carnal harvest, watch. Remember that the harvest, if you sow a carnal seed, watch this process. This is very important, okay? When you sow a carnal seed, don't expect spiritual seeds. The fruits of your carnal seeds will be fruits that have carnal seeds in them. Carnal, if you have a carnal seed and you sow it, it's going to reap fruits. You're going to harvest fruit from that seed. But the fruits that you will find within, the seed that you will find within those fruits, are also carnal. Okay? They're going to be carnal. Then, you sow, because these are the seeds you have, guess what? You're going to sow more of those. And as you sow more carnal fruits, or carnal seeds, more carnal fruits will be your harvest. So we're going to keep reaping more carnal fruits of harvest. Amen? Not so anymore, because this is what Jesus came, one of the things Jesus came to stop with this woman and with us. Amen. Now, this Samaritan woman is not aware of the spiritual opportunity Christ presents. Why? Again, because of her view. You know, it's just like us. She's no different from us. And before, I don't want you to judge this woman. She's really a representation of humanity. We are not really aware of spiritual opportunity Christ presents to us every moment of our lives. Why? Because operating with a carnal view, we are missing out on so many opportunities to fulfill Matthew 6:10, which is God's spiritual harvest. Let me ask you this. Do you realize this, that every situation in life presents opportunity to experience Christ in a twofold way, to the twofold harvest opportunity in Christ? Every opportunity, every situation. It's an open door for us to experience the twofold harvest opportunity in Christ. I see twofold harvest opportunity in Christ every moment of our life. And what is that twofold opportunity? First opportunity is to encounter Christ. In every moment, there is an opportunity to encounter Christ, which makes us a fruit of that moment that Christ is reaping. Okay? Then to represent Christ. This makes us a seed in that moment to represent Christ. So there's a twofold opportunity in every situation you're in. One, to encounter Christ. Second, to represent Christ. And when we encounter Christ, it means we're being the fruit of his harvest. When we represent Christ, we're being the seed that he's planted in the harvest for more harvest. Praise God. But I want to say this to you. Because of who Jesus Christ is,
All hope is not lost for the Samaritan woman, and all hope is not lost for us. Why do I say this? Because Jesus is there also for a harvest. She came for a harvest. Jesus came for a harvest. She's engaged herself in her systematic worldly way of harvest. Jesus now is engaging a spiritual dynamic of harvest. And watch what happens. Oh, bless Jesus. I love him. I love him. So the next thing Jesus does with this woman and with us really is giving us a chance first to encounter him in the moment. The Lord wants you to encounter him in the moment. In the moment. Why? Because this is fundamental to bearing spiritual fruits. And when you bear spiritual fruits, it means that those fruits have spiritual seeds. And when you have spiritual seeds, it means that what you sow will be also bring forth spiritual fruits. Praise Jesus. So what did Jesus do? Jesus labored with the Samaritan woman to transform her paradigm of relationship. Her paradigm of how she relates with men. Her paradigm of her sexuality. Her paradigm of her, the view of herself in terms of other people. So for this Samaritan woman, she had a faulty view of relationship. She had a faulty view of so many things. But for us, it presents in so many different ways. There are so many carnal equipments, implements we bring into the moment and we're expecting to reap a harvest. I just pray that every carnal equipment that we've ever used and hoping for a spiritual harvest that have failed, that God will forgive us for using them and redeem those things for us by His Spirit. I'm asking the Lord to do this even for the sake of this message, to authenticate in each person's life this message that God, on harvest that God has given us. Let's continue. Okay? So the rest of John chapter 4 really is about Jesus laboring first with a Samaritan woman, then with his disciples, and finally with the entire village of Samaria, and also with us to help connect us with him, the fountain of living water. He wants us to encounter him so that he can reap us as a fruit, and then we can represent him. That's what Jesus did. And Jesus is still at work with us to accomplish the twofold encounter with him. Jesus wants to reap the fruits of our character. He wants to reap the fruits of our will. He wants to reap the fruits of our emotions. He wants basically to reap the fruits of our spirit, soul, and body. Because when he reaps all that fruit, guess what? There will be seeds that are holy, seeds that are righteous. He will increase your harvest of righteousness. That's what we heard in Corinthians. God will increase your harvest of righteousness when Christ reaps you and I as a fruit. Why? The way he sustains his harvest is through seeds. Amen? And the Holy Spirit is working to achieve this every moment of our lives. So, because we are not aware of this, you know, we're not aware of this, then the tendency is not to yield to his workings. Remember Jesus said this, his food, his passion, his drivers is not only to start the will of God, but that which drives him, that which is his food, that which is also, it's also to complete the will of God. The beginning and the end, the author and the finisher. He wants to begin it and he wants to end it. The will of God is Matthew 6:10. And the Holy Spirit is actively doing what? Glorifying Jesus Christ as he is accomplishing our transformation into active fruits with seeds that are righteous. For those seeds will bring glory to God. For those seeds will fulfill Matthew 6:10. For those seeds will sustain the posterity and the prosperity of the counsel and purpose of God. As Isaiah 55 tells us, praise Jesus. Now, I want you to observe with me what happens in the later verses of this, of John chapter 4, as this woman is changed. As this woman now encounters Jesus, as this woman now has become the fruit that Christ is reaping in the moment, in this encounter. Now that she has become fruit for Christ, what does Christ put in her? Seeds. And because that seed is in her, is righteous, God is increasing her harvest of righteousness as she goes back, watch, to her village and drags every Samaritan, both men and women, children in her village, who were previously to this, holding the same carnal paradigm of relationship with Jews. She drags all of them to Jesus for their own deliverance. And now God is increasing what? Her harvest of righteousness. And who is really harvesting in all of this? God. Because He's made her a seed in that moment. And guess what? They were all delivered. Praise Jesus. They were all delivered. They no longer approach Jesus or approach the moment with humanistic implements, with equipment to draw from the natural resource. Now they are approaching Him as the Messiah. They approach life as those who have encountered the Messiah. They are approaching Him as one, as those who have eternal life. And this is the implement, a spiritual tool that they're bringing into their relationships, their moments of their lives, so that they can keep reaping a spiritual harvest. And this is how God is operating spiritually. It is a spiritual principle, brethren. And He's making it available to us to make us effective fruits of His harvest and for His glory. Let me ask you this question. I know your answer is yes, but I want you to think carefully about this question. Do you want to fulfill Matthew 6:10? Where He says, your will be done on earth as your will is done in heaven. Do you really want to? Then we must allow our minds to be armed with the spiritual principle of harvest. You must allow yourself to understand that Christ, there's a twofold encounter that Christ wants to have with you. In the moment, in every circumstance or situation, it doesn't matter if it's sweet or sour. It doesn't matter the circumstance. There is a twofold encounter. Christ wants to meet you there so that He can reap you as a fruit. And then He wants you to represent Him in that place as His seed. Praise God. It requires our understanding. A person will not harvest the fullness of fruits of every opportunity unless the person brings the right implements and equipment to that moment. If you bring the natural equipment into that moment, your harvest will be natural. If you bring spiritual equipment in Christ into that moment, your harvest will be spiritual. Remember, the faithfulness of God and the Holy Spirit points us to Christ's direction at all times. Remember that we can never experience the fullness of the moment unless we are operating in the Spirit. Unless Matthew 6:10 is being fulfilled, in that moment, the fullness of Godhead for you available is not being realized or experienced by that person. Jesus came to show us and manifest His dominance over natural harvest by operating in a spiritual dimension and showing us how to reap harvest in a spiritual realm. And when you operate in the spiritual realm, when you engage God's spiritual principles of harvest, then you will have dominance over the natural, and the constraints of the natural will not apply to you anymore. To the praise and the glory of God. Amen.